It's Friday, and I got off work fairly early. Worked till about 3 o'clock. Went to the comic store, picked up my books, talked to Ed for a while. He was talking about how he has like this card display on wire, like a white wire rack that's mounted to the wall. It's about 6 feet high, and the racks, the shelving for it, like they like slope down so you can put stuff on them, and that's mostly where he carries his gaming cards and his Pokemon and all that. Well, he said that the other day the whole display fell on top of him and he couldn't get free because the thing was mounted. When they mounted it, they mounted it into the drywall, but they didn't mount it on studs. So he was pinned, and it took two guys that were in the store to help him get free. And it also messed up like the electrical, pulled something on the electrical socket, so he didn't have power. So yeah, it really was a destructive incident. But because I had asked him, I like, because when he sorts comics for the week, he puts them on top of the back issues on cardboard, and then he merges them onto the shelves that he has for the new comic books. But he hasn't been doing it lately, or usually he's a week behind. And this time he was 2 weeks behind, and I had asked about why he's 2 weeks behind. He says that some of the customers for new comic books, they like when they do that, but I hate it because I want to look through some back issues and they're covered with new comics. So you can't get to them easily without moving a whole lot of shit around. But yeah, that was an interesting predicament. And then I talked to him and said, yeah, I visited that new comic book store that I talked about last time, and it really had nothing. So I had picked up a couple of back issues recently from him. I picked up Tarot Black Witch number 65, a Tarot Black Witch R Black Rose, Witch of the Black Rose number 4, and the first edition of the Tarot Volume 1. I got a really good deal on it, just cover price minus 20%. And from what I can tell, that's worth a lot because I can't even find it on eBay. My database has it for $50, so I got a really good deal on that if that's the case. But I can't compare it to anything because it's not in stock anymore, that first print. I also picked up Heavy Hitter Spike. And it has like a weird chromium, not chromium, but I forget what they call this type cover. Embossed cover. It looks really cool. You can actually feel like the main character coming out of the page, which gives it like a 3D effect. It's from the Epic line of comics. I don't have any of this series except for this number one. I didn't even know it existed, to tell you the truth, but I always like to dig around and find shit that. And then today he was like, "Go! I got a new back issue box I bought, and it's full of Iron Fist." So he had like the first Sabretooth and all that. He sold the first Sabretooth. He sold the first Iron Fist. He had some first appearances of Doomsday. He sold those. But the rest of the stuff was like Iron Fist, the first series, and Marvel Premiere Iron Fist, and then he had a bunch of other comics. But I literally went through, and then he had some Atlas comics in there. I literally went through the entire box, the long box, and I said, "Ed, you're not gonna believe this, but everything you have in there, I own." And he goes, "I could believe it." So I didn't get any back issues. I was pretty good today. That the stuff that I picked up last time. And I knew that I wanted to pick up two new boxes because I needed to file some of the red issues and the back issues. So I picked up two more short boxes. And then I decided, well, I better go to the storage unit and find the comic books that Bill told me to find. And usually I literally take about 30 minutes to find everything. And today was the first time I went into the right locker and found everything I needed. And there was even things like, so he texted me some books to add, and I was like, well, usually lately if they're real obscure, I don't know what company they come from, but chances are that I bought them. So let me give you an example. But he had texted me a text, and I have no signal at the storage unit. Like, one of my lockers, I get one bar, so I could, someone could get a signal. The other locker, I get zilch. It's like zero bars. So, but I had cached my Twitter. But Bill Bomer said, make sure you get Night Janik. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? And I wanted to Google it and find out what it was. I knew what Rain was. That was Image Comics. And then he said, in his own Image, I didn't know what that was. But I looked in Image, and it wasn't there. And then I found it, I believe, in Source Point Press or Scout, one of the two. But I found it right away. So I was pretty happy. And then the Usher of the Dead, we proposed from the previous episode. I didn't know what it was, but I knew the ones that I wrote down. I better go to this, when I go to the storage unit, I'll put in parentheses the publisher, because then I'll be able to find it. So that was Blood Moon. And then the Bonnier Aromatic was another one that we selected. But I knew that was Keen Spot, because it has my favorite artist from Zombies versus Robots from Keen Spot doing the cover. So I knew that one was Keen Spot. But that's why things take a long time, is sometimes we collaborate and I pick a book, and if it's not Marvel, DC, Image, Zenoscope, or Dynamite, I sometimes have trouble with some of the titles, whether it's Image. Usually Image I'm pretty good with, but Source Point Press, Scout, Red 5, Mad Cave, Source Point Press, and Vault. Those are the ones I struggle with. I'm usually, if he gives me an AWA name, I usually know that. A Boom, I usually know it's Boom. And some of the other, Ahoy, I usually know it's Ahoy. But some of the behemoths, that Zanuck Knight, that was a behemoth, and I didn't know what that was. That title is really fucking huge too. Like, if you look at the cover of that Night Janik Knight, its title is like a whole sentence. It's huge. But I was able to find everything within 5 minutes. I was like, wow, that's awesome. I was very, very happy about that. The other thing I want to talk about is during my exercise in the morning, I decided to venture out and go to Paramount Plus, and I was going to watch Halo, but I decided, you know what, there's these new Twilight Zones I want to check out, and man, I'm really freaking enjoying it. They are kind of like weird exercise shows, because they provide like a lot of stress and tension to it. So they don't make like a lot of action, but it's a lot of suspense and twists and turns and stuff like that. But I'm still really enjoying the CBS. Well, it used to be CBS All Access. Now it's Paramount Plus. The Twilight Zone. It's really, really good. And they have like the original Twilight Zone on there too. as well as I think the movie. But yeah, I've been really using a lot of streaming services and not reading a lot of comics. It's so weird. Yellowstone has been taking all our time. I'm so obsessed with that show. It's like a modern day Western, and it's just badass. Like, I'm so glad that I listened to Rob Servations and had him talk about 1883 and Yellowstone. I watched them out of order. Yellowstone came out first, and then there was a prequel, 1883, in the Western on how they got there. And I said, well, if they're in that order, maybe I should watch it in the order of time and do 1883 before Yellowstone. We watched 1883 on Paramount Plus, and my wife and I loved it so much that I started looking on Paramount Plus for Yellowstone. I'm like, where the fuck is it? Had to do some research on where it was streaming, and it's on NBC Peacock. So we moved over to NBC Peacock, watched a Yellowstone, and it was so good, and then went to the next episode, and it's like, oh, now you have to pay for it. So that's how they get you in. So I needed to get I paid for another streaming service just so I could watch Yellowstone. And now we're towards the end of season two, and there's four seasons, and we've been averaging about 1 to 2 episodes a night. So it just depends on, you know, we'll still got another couple weeks in us, I think, if not more than that, before we decide what's the next show we watch. But that was very, very entertaining. And now I'm going to talk about some questions, which I think I still have some. Let's go to bookmarks. And let's scroll down. Oh, I talked about that one, so I can remove it. Let's do that. Remove tweet from bookmarks. So Kirk Spencer, my friend, from the DC Everything Else, which I've reluctantly haven't scheduled an episode because I just have not had time. But I'd like to get back to that at some point. Kirk says, Vanilla Ice or Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch? I'd go with Vanilla Ice. I don't own any of their music. But, well, I'd lie to you. I have the soundtrack to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which has Vanilla Ice, Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go. And I never bought like Ice Ice Baby, but I like that song. And Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch, I just liked Good Vibration. That's all I know from him. Such a sweet sensation. But I'll go with Vanilla Ice because there's at least 2-3 songs that I like. I haven't listened to his newer stuff because it's more like rocking out, but that's not my genre. It's pop and soul are not my genre. There's a lot of other genres I like more than that. I'll dip my toe in rap every now and then, but not very frequently. So Drew from Comics for Fun and Profit says, what are your 5 longest complete runs? You have to share your longest runs from each publisher. That's not an easy thing to determine, at least by database. But I'll have to say Daredevil from Marvel, because I own every Daredevil proper title comic ever published. For DC, it's got to be Batman, and then next to that probably Superman and Justice League have got to be, like, I have almost every, if you got Justice League of America, the original, you got Justice League International, Justice League Europe, Justice League Task Force, Justice League Elite, all those titles I have, Justice League Quarterly, all those titles I own. I don't have issues 1 through 3, but I have issues like 20 and up of the original series. I don't have the first Brave and the Bold that has the original, but there's always been like a Justice League comic published, so I have that all. Like, I have, and I haven't stopped buying it. Most of the Justice League and Batman, I just buy. In other words, I never like stopped buying them. The only time I did was when we were buying the house and I needed to save a lot of money. Flash was another character. So those are some of my longest runs, just to name a few. But I have a lot of full runs. I'm working on Spider-Man. I'm working on Thor, Iron Man. There's several ones that I'm close to completing runs on. But then I have to be concerned, like, do I have every volume? And some of them I know I don't. So, yeah, if I ever stopped getting Defenders, I have a full run of that. And I bought every Defenders that was ever published beyond that, because that was like my favorite group. But Defenders isn't always in the limelight. They don't have a lot of issues. I have a hell of a lot of Fantastic Four. And yes, they've been sporadic since lately there's ongoing most of the time, but there was a while there where there wasn't an ongoing Fantastic Four book. Avengers of my Avengers is pretty impressive. I have a full run of Avengers West Coast. Avengers, I have like issue 5, but I'm missing, like, consecutively I have like almost everything from issue 50 on. But then there, if you go back enough, there, you know, I'll miss 2 issues there, 2 issues there. My earliest issue is number 5, so Avengers is pretty complete. Captain America is nearly complete, and that's like a monthly comic. But there is one volume that I think it's the Marvel Knights volume that I don't own. I think I took a break from Captain America, even though I read it. I read that digitally, and I was like, that's pretty good. I'd like to buy that at some point. But lately, I'm trying to stay focused. I kind of lost a little bit of focus this past week because I saw these images of Overstreet Fan Magazine. And I saw that there were 2 Liefeld articles, so I ordered 16 and 18, and was pleasantly surprised to find these Spawn fan editions. And I had just heard Martin from Geekvine from Nerdy Legion talk about these fan editions, but I never thought twice about what the fan edition was, because I thought they were just reprinted material. I didn't know the fan edition was like 6 pages of original content by Bo Smith. So I was pleasantly surprised, because I bought the bagged versions of those Overstreet Fans. And now I have on order Overstreet Fan number 17. So that gives you the whole entire 3-issue miniseries. But other than that, I have one Marvel team up on the way. I think it's an annual. I lost a bid on, I need 4 and 5, and there was a bid on both of those in the same bid. They're saying issues 4 and 5, and I put in what I thought was a good price, and I thought I was going to win, but got, what do they call it, sniped the last minute or two. So I lost it by a few cents, but which kind of sucks. But I always lose bids. I don't like bids anymore. I like ones that are buy now or make me an offer kind of thing. Like, you can buy it now at that price, or make them an offer and see if they'll accept it. I like those a lot on eBay. So let me go back. Hope that answers your question, Drew from Comics for Fun and Profit. So I can remove those two and know that I answered them. And I'll move into one more. I got time for one more. This is from Glenn Clark. A new question for Mike Myers Brunch. Listening to this week's new entry, when you got your book reads, this question came to mind. Nobody has more positivity that I know of than you. Have you ever given a book or one or two? Usually you're always start at three. That is true. And yes, I have given comic books a one or two. No, I can't recall ever giving something a one, which means I hated it. I believe I have given something a two. A matter of fact, I think there's one that's fairly recent. Let me pull that up and just go to the bottom and search my way up for 2 out of 5. And I don't know where I put my list. Mike M's questions, Comic Weekly Reads. I need to back this file up. So we'll go here and do a search up for 2/5. See the last time I gave anything a 2 out of 5. Oh yeah, it's fairly recent. I haven't gotten to it on this show, but I gave Gold Digger 273 from Antarctic Press a 2 out of 5, which means I didn't like it. Because leading up to it, it's sort of like an Indiana Jones female explorer, but 273 got super weird. And in all fairness, I started reading Gold Digger around 270. So the two prior, I gave a 3 out of 5, but this one just totally lost me. But I only read Gold Digger number 1. And then I jumped to 270. So, number 1 gave me some background, at least on 2 of the characters, but then everything else was new. Horror Comics number 2, Black and White. This was an Antarctic. I didn't like that one either. If I search up... But I'm still positive. I think they were worth reading. Like, I don't regret reading them. The next 2 out of 5... I did have on the show where I talked about it was Hendra. It's like a magazine size comic book from Image. And it was like a super exploratory, pretentious comic book where a lot of the panels were like half inch by half inch. They were ridiculously small. And they would just show like a finger moving and shit like that. Like I just couldn't get into it, you know. And this one is interesting because I think it was Phil Hester replied and said, God, I love that experiment. So just because it wasn't for me doesn't mean that somebody else gets like happiness out of it. But those are the last 2 out of 5s that I remember, and that 2 out of 5 was from Christmas, well, a little after Christmas. And I actually gave Sword a really low score, which is very interesting. I must have been grouchy that week. I gave Sword 1 through 4. In 2021, June 2021, really low scores. But yeah, that's interesting. So, yeah, I'm still positive. Like, I don't, like, regret not reading it because those things are in my memory and I got something out of it. I just didn't like it. Like, I didn't overall like it. But they're very few and far between. So, I think that also happens, Glenn, because I'm a mood reader. Like, there's a lot of people that buy comics and then they feel like they have to consume them when they buy them. And the good thing about that is you consume them, you read them, and you read them like they're supposed to be read. Like comic books are periodicals. You get it, you read it, you wait for the next issue. You get it, you read it, you wait for the next issue. I don't read like that. I read when I'm in the mood. So I go in with already like, oh, I feel like reading Sword. Or I know this book looks weird, this Hendra, and I feel like reading something weird and different. So I go into it being a mood reader. But Barb is leaving so she can drop off Lori. Okay. So, yeah, those are all the questions I'm going to do today, because I know Barb is going to be on her way and calling me soon saying, what do you want to eat for dinner? So I'm going to take a pause for the cause, which means, all right, Barb's coming home soon, so I'm going to try to finish this. She'll be texting me soon saying, what do you want to eat? But I think I'll have enough time to get through two of these. So let's jump right in. We got January 24th, 2022 to January 30th of 2022. We'll start with what I watched that week. 3 out of 5, Dawn of the Beast. And I'm trying to remember what the hell that was. Oh, I think that was on Amazon Prime. And that was about a Wiccan type entity in the forest, and these college kids that are studying under this professor that studies like Loch Ness Monster and all this stuff. They're searching for Bigfoot, and they end up in this location where there's this Wiccan monster, but Bigfoot is also there. But I gave it a 3 out of 5. Wasn't my favorite, but I was entertained. The 4 out of 5 was the Cowboy Bebop anime. I watched the first 3 episodes. I thought it was pretty good. The 5 out of 5s were The Good Doctor and the Cowboy Bebop live action. So I'm one of those weirdos that prefers the Cowboy Bebop live show to the Cowboy Bebop animated show. And then the other 5 out of 5 was Nobody, that was on HBO Max. That was incredible. It's from the guy that's in Breaking Bad, that's the lawyer. I forget what his name is. And this one, he's like a guy that his life is down the toilet. And behind the scenes, though, he was a retired assassin for like the CIA. So I better get this. I'll be right back. All right, I'm back. So, we're talking about the Nobody, and then we're going to jump into the comic books. There are a total of 24 comic books read, 10 Marvel, 1 Image, 11 DC, and 2 Blackouts. This is usually what I average, a little bit above 20, which is pathetic considering how many comic books I'm intaking. But the 3 out of 5 was Lady Vampire from Blackout Comics. This is a lady vampire, is a vampire posing as a human when another vampire says she is going to turn her. That doesn't make any sense. I'll put it in my own words. Lady Vampire. Wasn't originally a vampire. She was a girl that was rich. She seemed kind of spoiled. And she would go nightclubbing. And then she goes out on a date. I mean, on a date night just to go dance and stuff. And a vampire bites her. She had a fiancé, but he died. They take a job after a villain says he might know who killed her fiancé. She's kind of like a good vampire because she's aware that she's a vampire. and she knows who turned her, and she wants to seek vengeance. So that's Lady Vampire. It's by a small publisher called Blackout Comics. Another comic book from Blackout Comics is a 4 out of 5. It's called Miss Cyanide and Ice. A little bit about Blackout Comic Books is they were a little over a year, and they only got like 1 to 2 issues out. Lady Vampire was the most successful. Matter of fact, when I read Lady Vampire, I read it out of order because there was a zero that supposedly set things up. And then one happened, and you're a little lost. And then there's a couple of other series. There's like 3 series of Lady Vampire, and they're only 1 or 2 issues each. And then there's Miss Cyanide and Ice, and I don't think there's another issue of Miss Cyanide and Ice. But you do wish there was more. A detective loses his son to an explosion. He seeks help from Cyanide and Ice, they're bad girls, to go after the villain. He tells Ice he might know something about her fiancé's death. Well, there's a lot of fiancé deaths in these Blackout comic books. They take the job, but after the villain says he might know who killed her fiancé, she leaves in a hurry, and then it's to be continued, and it's never continued. So there we go. It was interesting, and I kind of enjoyed this romp. We have What If number 7. This is one that I was listening to Rob Servations, and he talked about a What If story that Rob Liefeld did. And it's What If Wolverine was the agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think Jim Valentino was the writer, and he also did some of the pencils in this, but Rob did the majority of the heavy lifting on the pencils, and it really is a fun book. I highly recommend it if you're a Jim Valentino fan or a Rob Liefeld fan. And I'm also trying to complete all the Jim Valentino stuff, so it kind of served both purposes. We have Venom number 3. Still enjoying this book. This is by V. Sometimes it's co-written, and when it's co-written or the other guy takes over, I don't like it as much. It's so weird. Dylan escapes captivity, and the symbiote is helping him. Seems like part of Eddie might still be around because he's supposedly dead, but before he died, he was able to like jump bodies because Venom, he was sort of like a symbiote god. Dylan was betrayed by the woman that Eddie thought she could trust. There is an armor that will help the corporation hunt down symbiotes, and they're going to go after Dylan. We have Ben Reilly, Spider-Man number 1. I was very late to the Clone Saga, but I did read it in omnibus format and then later picked up the singles. I really liked it. I'm not sure I would have liked it as much as if I was reading it month to month. But in one sitting and one palette, you know, like just one, it read really well. So every time there is a Ben Reilly, I always pick it up. And this was definitely an excellent read. And when I picked this one up, I didn't realize that he's really the main character in the current Amazing Spider-Man. So, Amazing Spider-Man number 7 through 10. This is the volume 2 with the John Byrne. The crazy Mysterio issues where Flash thinks he is Spider-Man's partner and he is making out with Sue Storm in front of Reed after defeating Dr. Doom. This is hilarious. Spidey finds a reporter in a burning building and rescues him. He is protecting a book with names, and one of the names is Peter Parker. MJ has a modeling shoot, is interrupted by a tropical storm, and Peter was supposed to fly out there and meet her, but he did not go out there, and her stalker calls. Somehow the fire ties back to Doc Ock. We find out that the villain behind the explosion is, in fact, Captain Power, who is a woman. Dr. Carr transformed by the same explosion that created Spider-Man and Doc Ock. because they like refactored the Spider-Man so that Doc Ock and Spider-Man were created very similarly timed. MJ Stalker becomes her kidnapper. How is Peter still employed with Tri-Core Labs as he is never there? They introduce Tri-Core Labs early on in the series, and they very sporadically mention it. He's actually working two jobs at the time. He's working at the Bugle and Tri-Core Labs. Tri-Core Labs is like where you think he wants to shine as a scientist, but he's failing miserably. And there's some loose connections in the story where they said, man, you should fire him, you know. He's never around when you need him. Hawk World Ongoing, where this is where the Hawks go to Earth after Bythe. That was really fun to read. That it was John Ostrander. We have Action Comics 1036 to 1038. Superman, the Authority are defeated on Warworld, and depowered Superman is turned into a slave. Midnighter is the only one that is not captured. Lightray loses her life. She was one of the Authority. Superman finds the alien race that the Kryptonian was from and wants to free them, but they do not know what freedom is, so they don't want to be freed. The rest of the Authority are turned to fighters on Warworld. Guardian saves the kids. That's the backup story. Martian Manhunter story backup where he is fighting the Human Flame. I don't know if you've read Final Crisis. Was it the Human Flame? But they talk about the Human Flame a lot. He is a Martian Manhunter villain. He's such like a Z-lister. But that's a fun mystery with Martian Manhunter as a backup. I like the Martian Manhunter backup a lot more than the Guardian. We have DC Horror, The Conjuring, The Lover, number 1 through 5, also a 4 out of 5. A girl goes off to college and leaves her friend who she loves and is haunted by an old lady at the college. It's a bunch of short horror stories at the end, but things don't end up well, I'll tell you that. But it ties into the movies, The Conjuring. It is really good. Hellcop number 3, Hellcop is still in hell. And him and the dead politician are being led by demons. The scientist trying to help Hellcop gets wanted, an unwanted partner, and they are porting over mercenaries to kill Hellcop. But she manages to port them in the middle of nowhere in hell. So she's working with Hellcop and trying to keep them off of his tail. The next is a 4 out of 5. This is the last one for this week. Eternals Infinity comic, number 1 through 3. This is only available digitally. And I love the Eternals, so I thought I'd read it. And the Infinity comics are meant to have just vertical scroll. They're kind of annoying on the iPad, but I think they're designed for the phone. But Icarus is trying to form a team after they are reincarnated. Makari turns him over to the Deviants. Now the Eternals are at a large party. Will they realize they are Eternals in time? A lot of them don't. Druig is a Russian and seems to be up to no good. It has Gaiman. It's by Neil Gaiman and John Romita Jr., which is quite the team. Cersei is a party organizer. Thena works for Stark as an inventor. Makari is a doctor who is now suspended. Some of them remember that they were Eternals, and some of them don't. So it makes for a very interesting comic book. Icarus is trying to gather the team and let them remember who they are. We then go to January 31st, 2022, to February 6th of 2022. The 4 out of 5s were Peacemaker on HBO Max, The Hitman's Bodyguard Wife on HBO Max, Home Team, which was a Netflix Adam Sandler featuring the King of Queens. I forget what his name is, but it's a true story about the coach from the New Orleans Saints, New Orleans Saints. And it's sort of a comedy, but not a comedy. We got The Book of Boba Fett is a 5 out of 5. And The Good Doctor, we were caught up at the time. Now we're behind again. There were a total of 23 comics. We had, again in the 20s, we had one from Red 5, 7 Marvel, 1 Eclipse, and 14 Antarctic Press. That's a lot of Antarctic Press. But we've been spending a lot of Antarctic Press on Geek Brunch, reading the anthologies, like Horror Comics, Jungle Comics, Exciting Comics, Planet Comics, and they are a lot of fun. But let me go through these. There are 2 out of 5, so the question leads directly to Glenn's. She rates something 2 out of 5. The Horror Comics was, there's 2 Horror Comics. One is black and white and one is in color. This is the Horror Comics black and white number 2. I just found all the stories, they had like 3 stories in, I just found them vile and I did not like the issue. After we discussed it on Geek Brunch, I think I would have made it a 3 out of 5, but this is how I originally felt. Gold Digger 273, I already talked about. Gold Digger has a multiverse, and there was so much going on, I did not understand any of it. That's why I gave it a 2 out of 5. We get to the 3 out of 5s. We had Gold Digger 272. Gold Digger is on a dig and discovers an alien creature who's trying to protect a tomb from her. There is a funny scene where she is trying to show the alien pictures from outside on her phone. And she shows that alien creature a picture of her flashing her boobs. I thought that was hilarious. We have Appleseed Volume 1. This is a one that I read on Comixology Unlimited. I don't own the book. I heard Rob Liefeld talk about this manga. And it's a post-apocalyptic adventure where a woman and her cyborg are brought into a utopia that is corrupt. Entertaining. 3 out of 5s are Horror Comics 1 through 3. This was a story. It wasn't the anthology in 1 through 3. It was a story of the Ice Cream Man serial killer, and it is interesting because it does go through. The original was his uncle, and then he killed his uncle, and then became the killer. It was pretty good. That was the last 3 out of 5. We then get into the 4 out of 5s. We have Della Morte prequel. We talked about this a lot. This was a big magazine length. But it shows how death works and the reincarnation process for the series and how the two corporations that are in the book are in constant battle. I wish I would have read this before. This is a prequel, but I really wish I would have read it before the main series because it would have helped me understand it a lot better. The next 4 out of 5 is Horror Comics Black and White number 3. This has stories where a brilliant industrialist removes his brother from his side. He was one of those twins that had an adjoining brother twin, but it was just his face. So he removes that, and then he becomes homeless. It is an incredible story. There's one about a ghost at a school. A man gets a tattoo and talks to him, and he kills everyone close to him. So those are the 3 that I remembered. I enjoyed that one. I gave a 4 out of 5 to Gold Digger number 1. This set everything up. Gold Digger and her sister, who is like a cheetah, go to a dig site in Iran. They are set up a scenario where they lead the terrorists away from the tomb and then go raid the tomb. Cheetah's lover shows up, but it's really an alien shapeshifter. It was really entertaining. Got Planet Comics 1 through 3. It's just a sci-fi anthology, but it was really fun. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Exciting Comics number 1 through 3. The Crimson Scorpion is my favorite story about a scientist that goes to stop terrorists and gets bit by a scorpion to get his powers. There's a story about Blackjack. This one, the art is really good in Blackjack, at least the ones that don't feature the ghost. When the ghost gets introduced, it's not very good art. Blackjack takes out a man who is forcing businesses into her witness protection. racket, and she almost kills him. The organization that hired him sends some goons, the Griever, and others after her. And then there's a Mary Marvel story, which is kind of like Mary Marvel with just a different name, so they don't get sued. I bought the expensive cover because it had like a Mary Marvel cover. It was $9.99 to get the expensive cover. You can tell how much I love Mary Marvel. Peter Parker, Spider-Man, 7 through 11. This is the one that's going along with Amazing. This is the JRJR Bart Sears with Howard Mackey writing. The stories alternate between Peter Parker and Amazing Spider-Man, which is John Byrne and Howard Mackey. It's a great issue showing how Peter chose going after the hunger with Blade after meeting MJ on the tropical island. Mary Jane is on the tropical island. He didn't actually go to meet her. He was supposed to. We talked about that previously. Also, what is in the trunk? There's a trunk, a mysterious trunk that Blade is after. Blade and Spidey find out what's in the trunk. It's Morbius, and he has been worked on to kill. So some scientists have worked on him and turned him into a killing machine. Kingpin and Jimmy Six want him to keep hunger away. Later, Jimmy Six looks like he's going to turn over Pete to Kingpin, but decided to make war with Kingpin instead. Plus, Eddie Brock shows up. Venom reabsorbs the carnage from Cassidy. So now it's now a full Venom. He goes to kill Jameson, J. Jonah Jameson, but Spidey saves him. Venom leaves Spidey and Jameson on top of the bell tower. Spidey is knocked out, and Jameson reaches for his mask. It makes it think like he pulled his mask back, but they never show you. MJ arrives and gets a call from the stalker. MJ now knows Peter is back to being Spider-Man. Pete knows more about the stalker. Then the story is rudely interrupted by a crossover. We have Amazing Spider-Man 11 and 12. Peter tries to help Mary Jane from the stalker, but the blob gets in the way. Later, while driving away, the stalker has her, but Spidey saves MJ and swings away, leaving Jill, who's her best friend, by herself. That's Jill Stacy, by the way. Her father, Stacy, which is the brother to Captain Stacy, almost kills Ward, the senator, who's a crooked senator. Ward calls up Doc Ock. The Sinister Six get together to kill Doc Ock, and it has the origin of Mysterio as a backup. Really fun volume 2 of Amazing Spider-Man. I like it very, very much. Howard Mackey, John Byrne. And that was for 131 through 26. The top books were the Peter Parker Spectacular Spider-Man. No, 5 out of 5 is Amazing Spider-Man 11 and 12. And then the previous was the Eternals Infinity comic, Hellcop, and the DC Horror, The Conjuring, The Lover. I want to thank you for listening. Thanks for bearing with me as I rapidly went rapid fire. You can reach me at Mike Myers Brunch on Twitter. I'm Mike at comicbooknoise.com on email. You can find this on geekbrunchpodcast.com. And on Facebook, you can type Geek Brunch Podcast and follow all the episode threads in. I need to let Harley in. I hope you all have a nice week. And thanks for listening. I'll talk to you soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.